Hey guys, it's me, Lindsay. Welcome back to the Greener Being podcast, where I talk with you guys as I water my plants and go places with plants. I wanted to discuss a topic that has been on my mind recently, which is, could gardening change the world? As I've started my own little garden for my Challenge and Change class, I've realized a few little changes in myself. Some of these quirks that I have discovered involve rushing home to check on my plants, and whenever I'm outside, I look at other people's plants and the ones in nature, and I try to learn as much about them as possible, or I just try to guess what they are. To sum up that idea, gardening has made me care not just about my own plants, but the plants around me. I went to Hilton Falls Conservation Area a little while ago, and there I saw people using tree branches to shoo away the mosquitoes. And I have to say, it bothered me. The branches were probably brutally ripped off a tree, and after the trail discarded on the side of the road. What is the moral of my little revolution? The main idea behind my revelation is that, what if everyone started a garden? Could it change the world? I guess that in order to change the world, you have to start with you. So before I begin speaking about how little independent gardens can do much good, we are going to start with the good that gardening brings to everyone who partakes. The health benefits of living a more green life are countless. By living green, I mean going outside in nature, surrounding your home with plants, all the little things that fill your life with nature's green. A doctor from the British Heart Foundation said that there was evidence to show that seeing nature reduces blood pressure and produces a definite sense of well-being. Another researcher, Linda Seymour, said being in contact with nature actually triggers a neurological event, which means that you calm down. Sorry, my cat's trying to get out. We're gonna let Pumpkin out. Pumpkin, do you wanna be let outside? You need to be let out?
Okay.
The door wasn't even closed. She just wants me to open it for her. Okay, bye, Pumpkin. All right, sorry for the little interruption. We left off at Linda Seymour. She said being in contact with nature actually triggers a neurological event which makes you calm down. Food in Context published an article explaining the positive effects of urban gardening from an economical perspective. Urban farming has the possibility to create jobs and turn a profit while also keeping the money flowing into small businesses. Convenient access to inexpensive fruits, vegetables, eggs, meat, and more has become less of a priority because of the 20th century supermarkets that ship in produce from the U.S. We have become so used to paying a higher premium for lower quality food due to a lazier lifestyle Canadians have become accustomed to. Though imagine if we sacrificed a little bit of our time into growing our own food or supporting garden-to-table initiatives like local markets. Not only would we experience the harvest of our labor, but better physical and mental well-being as well. Now, it is also important to apply this ideology to a national and global standpoint. If we all cared a little bit more about the planet we live in, our home, we would strive to change aspects of our lives to accommodate those necessary changes. Starting with consumerism. We as consumers play a huge role in change, yet we always blame the large corporations for the environmental problems. Through our daily purchases, we send a message to producers, retailers, and others in that system. Food cost and nutritional quality have always been at the forefront of our minds when it comes to shopping for groceries. Now it is the challenge to find strategies to encourage consumers to add environmental quality to their shopping decisions. I decided to head to my local grocery store with a friend of mine, Aiden. Together we visited the garden center and headed inside to look at what the store had to offer consumers. Hi Aiden, thanks for joining me at Fortino's today.
Hello!
Thanks for coming, we're going right inside. We're going to look at the produce. Thanks. Okay, and thanks for joining me in Fortino's. The first question I have for you is, how often do you find yourself going to the grocery store? With your mom or just yourself?
Maybe once a week. I think once a week is about the amount I go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah. So my next question is, what are the kinds of things that you think about when you're perusing the aisles of the grocery store?
Often when I'm walking through the grocery store, I'm thinking of you, Lindsay. I'm thinking about what I want for the week, such as peaches or apples, bananas. Actually, bananas are kind of gross, but you know, like just the produce. I like produce over frozen stuff usually.
Okay, cool. Okay, let's go to the produce section.
We're already there.
Okay, so now we're standing in the produce section of the grocery store, and as we look around, can you like notice something about the variety and the quantity?
I think they put the good stuff on top, but the gold, like, I've always found myself that in the middle layer there is the best, like the best apples and the best zucchinis.
But can you elaborate on like how many different varieties of different foods there are?
The selection is quite beautiful. I think they do it because the people like the different selection.
Okay.
That's an awful but question. Like.
Okay, we're moving on to the next one.
No, don't.
So, Aiden, have you found a common thread between all of these fruits and where they are from?
So,
let's look around first. Let's look around.
So
these cherries are from where?
USA number one.
Okay, and the watermelon is from the US. The cantaloupe is from Guatemala. The watermelons are from the US. Some more from the Guatemala.
US, Brazil. So, Lindsay, instead of talking about a correlation, let's talk about the lack of correlation. There's absolutely no correlation between the organization. Besides the different types of fruits, such as, and roots and vegetables, such as yams and potatoes.
But we're actually just looking at the variety and where they come from. So, the sweet potatoes are from the US, the potatoes. So they're everything in this section of the produce section is from either the Guatemala or the U.S.
The fruits and vegetables section.
Yes, but if we look over to this little booth over here,
yes. We
may be able to find some of our local produce from Canada. Look, we found some. What do we notice here? What are the things that our grocery store has to offer us that's local?
They often look a little more rugged, as if they're not like the most beautiful looking, but they often are more fresh and have much more flavor than U.S. product.
Yeah, and literally there's like a quarter of like the selection that's like elsewhere. Like we only have peppers, cucumbers, tomatoes, strawberries.
Those are zucchinis.
No, they're not. They're cucumbers. Mini cucumbers.
Okay.
And there's, what else is there? That's basically all. Oh, there's rhubarb and a little bit of watermelon.
I love rhubarb.
Yes, Aiden loves rhubarb. Okay, next question, we're gonna go. So normally in the grocery store that I live around, where you live around, there's like a certain section dedicated to organically and locally grown / cultivated food. And why do you think it's so small, like in comparison to the food that is imported from other places?
Because honestly, so stores would rather buy cheaper fruit from the US and sell them than buy locally grown food where they have to support themselves since they have less of a client. So they need to sell for higher, so they're not gonna buy as much. Because people aren't gonna buy it as much as they're gonna buy cheap American fruit.
Yeah, I would say the same. And also in general, like what percentage of the grocery store is dedicated to like fresh, like unprocessed foods? Like if you look around, like in over there is all processed.
So all these fresh foods to get into Canada, they're not going to be processed. Fresh foods to get into Canada have to go through many... The FDA does not run through Canada. The FDA is very lenient.
Okay, so as we walk away from the produce section, I want to ask you, on your opinion, like, what percentage of the store do you think is fresh, unprocessed food?
So, I'm no math wizard, but I think that roughly 50% of all the produce in the store is, and all the food in the store is not processed, because Canadian food laws are fairly healthy. Like, I don't think a lot of stuff would be processed. And processed doesn't mean the worst thing in the world.
I know. I'm just saying processed as in, like, not. All right. So, Aiden, I think we're done looking around inside the grocery store. I think it's time for us to go outside to the garden center. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Okay, so now we're walking outside. Let's see if we can spot anyone we know. We're just awkwardly waving.
You know that guy?
Nope. Actually, I think I've seen him before.
You don't know that guy?
I know a couple of them, like the redhead. I know that guy. Why am I recording? So now Aiden and I are heading out to the garden center at Fortino's.
Exciting.
we're just gonna look around a bit, see what we can notice. So as soon as you walk in, what is the first thing you see?
Flowers.
And
plants.
Little bushes.
And evergreens.
Campulas.
Amazingness.
It's really beautiful in here. There's all sorts
of flowers.
I'm not very
knowledgeable on flowers.
That's fine.
Maybe give me a tour of different flowers.
Well, the main purpose that we're in here for is we're seeing at the variety that Fortino's has to offer its clients. So just gonna look around. What do we notice? Lots of beautiful flowers. Okay, so something interesting to make note of is the amount of different plants and their purposes that are in this particular garden center.
Do you know what, Linz? I don't feel very motivated to grow my own produce at home when I see all these different plants around. I just don't feel very motivated.
Yeah, do you think that there's like an overwhelming percentage of plants for floriculture or landscape architecture?
I'm sorry, little note here. If you could see these plants, they're absolutely beautiful.
But what purpose do they serve, aside from looking beautiful?
To make Fortino's money, to generate revenue.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for your questions and your answers. Thanks. So after visiting the grocery store with my friend Aiden, I was left to do some research and answer some of these questions I had for you viewers. From a Grocery Experience National Survey report done by Dalhousie University, the average Canadian will visit a grocery store 5.43 times a month. That is 1.29 times a week. A question from the survey asked, "Do you regularly visit a store where produce is primarily sold?" And the overwhelming majority said yes at 63.3%. And another question asked, "Do you regularly visit a farmer's market?" And 69.3% no. When asked when purchasing produce, what is the most important factor, Canadians said 36.3% was freshness of the product, 21.7% was the quality of the product, and then the lowest price possible at 12.7%. Other important findings from the survey said that the most important thing overall were the location of the grocery store, everything in one place, as well as quality, price, and freshness were the most important factors. And only in Quebec was environmental friendliness and locally grown food important factors. So, if starting a garden is not possible for you and purchasing your food from a local supermarket is your only option, make it known to the owners of the franchise that locally grown food is a priority. So now let's suppose that you are in a place where growing a garden is an open possibility, or you have a community garden where you can claim a plot of land and grow your own fruits and veggies. What good can come from that? I myself can testify that starting a garden makes you feel like a more well-rounded individual. And maybe that has to do with connecting with those innate traits within ourselves to tend and care for other inhabitants of this earth. Just a reminder, a couple generations back, we did not even have refrigerators, and for them that meant that all the food they ate was fresh from the garden or preserved in a way to make it last for the winter. So many people in our current age strive for better health and bodies and go to dramatic lengths to see changes. A lot of exercise schemes have huge dropout rates because people get bored. Gardening is so different because sometimes it can be physically demanding to tend to a plot of land, but no one who cares about their plants would abandon them because they got bored. When these plants start bearing fruits and vegetables, that takes the need for going out to buy them out of the question. While fueling, while fueling and nourishing our bodies, we are saving money. So we are going to be moving on from the you to the us. Us meaning everyone. How does gardening and supporting those local gardens and farms equate to changing the world? I'm going to tell you, my viewers, a program in which gardening cultivates ability and self-sufficiency. The Homeless Gardening Project in Santa Cruz helps those who are going through hard times in their life find job training, transitional employment, and support services. The Homelessness Garden Project is known for its organic produce and sustainable practices. Their mission statement: in the soil of our urban farm and garden, people find the tools they need to build a home in the world. The garden is open to the public from dawn till dusk, and people are allowed to sample fruits like strawberries. The HGP offers 4 programs for the homeless population of Santa Cruz. The Women's Organic Flower Enterprise teaches female trainees to dry herbs and flowers and design arrangements. Revenue generated flows directly back into the program, and throughout the year, women are trained in job skills while also making valuable connections with other women. I tried doing research for similar projects that are offered in and around the Hamilton and Halton region, but nothing of the sort popped up. With a growing homeless population in Ontario, I think it is our job as privileged people to create these spaces where those who are disadvantaged can earn money and gain new skills while also being provided housing and food. There is so much to gain. There is unlimited potential these people have to give, and applying it to a cause that benefits everyone is amazing. Now, as much humanitarian work we do, none of it will amount to anything unless we tackle our most pressing issue at hand, climate change. For those, gardening is more than a hobby. It is a passion and a lifestyle. Climate change is a very real and very scary threat. Though, on the bright side, there are things to do in order to combat this enormous issue, starting with our gardens, by improving energy efficiency, reducing the use of gasoline-powered tools, removing invasive species, and cultivate the ones that are native to your area, as well as reducing water consumption, which can be done through innovative watering systems that run off rainwater, as well planting trees, composting organic waste. And these are just skimming the surface of things you can do. You can find out more things to do at the National Wildlife Federation. I want to thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that at least a couple of my key points stood out to you, whether that be starting a garden and using environmentally friendly options while doing so, supporting local organic farms through your purchases, and look past a plant in the dirt to see the vast potential it offers. Bye!